Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By His own free will, Lord Krishna has delivered you from such a condemned materialistic life. Therefore, the glories of Lord Krishna's causeless mercy cannot be expressed. Purport. In the Brahma Samhita 5.54, it is says, Karmani nirdahanti kintu chabakti bhajam. Lord Krishna is so merciful that He can stop the reaction of karma for His devotee. Everyone from a small insect called Indragopa to the Indra, the king of heaven, is bound by the reactions of fruitive activities. Twas Indragopa of Atavendra aho swakarma bandhanu rupa phala bhajanam attanoti. Karmani nirdahati kinchu cha bhakti bhajam govindam aripurusham tamaham bhajami. Everyone, whether like an insect or like a king of heaven, is entangled and bound by the actions and reactions of his karma. However, when one becomes a pure devotee, free from material desires and free from bondage to karma, jnana, and yoga, one is free from materialistic actions and reactions by the causeless mercy of Krishna. One cannot express sufficient gratitude to Krishna for being freed from the materialistic way of life. End of purport. Translation, please repeat. By His own free will, Lord Krishna has delivered you from such a condemned materialistic life. Therefore, the glories of Lord Krishna's causeless mercy cannot be expressed. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dhanati Swam Padantikam. Jai Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasari, Gaura Bhakta Vrindam, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. There's a beautiful exchange, one of the many beautiful exchanges between Vaishnavas in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Vidura, after he leaves the palace, he's traveling. And by his good fortune, he comes in contact with Uddhava. And he starts asking Uddhava about Krishna. He wants to hear about Krishna. That's his only desire now, is to hear simply the glories of the Lord. And Uddhava had just recently had the association of Krishna. Krishna gave him his personal association. And then gave him an instruction. Told him, you go to Bhadarik Ashram and you stay there. I'm leaving the world. I'm finishing my, winding up my pastimes. And you won't see me anymore. Actually, Uddhava wanted to go with Krishna back to the spiritual world, but Krishna told him, no, this is not my desire for you. Although you're, in so many words, Krishna told him, you are qualified, but still I have a mission for you. You stay in Bhadarik Ashram, and you meet the devotees who come there and tell them about this final pastime of mine. And you inform all the devotees, and this is your service. And you worship the Lord as Bhadrik Vishal. And then soon you will again get my association. So Uddhava is, he's really overwhelmed with love and at the same time deep, deep separation from Krishna. So when he's approached by Vidura, of course, a devotee always wants, especially a pure devotee, always wants to speak about Krishna. His desire is to somehow or other speak about the glories of the Lord. But And Uddhava is very happy to hear Vidura's requests, to hear about Krishna. But at the same time, his emotions are so strong that he cannot speak without displaying those emotions of love and separation. And during that exchange, he quotes one beautiful verse. Aho bakiyam stanakalakutam jigyamsam yad yad yapi yadvi sadvi levegatam uchitam datritam tantodyam kamvai dahulam sharanam vrijema. This verse is the verse that was recited by Mukunda when he was describing the glories of Lord Krishna's mercy in the presence of Pundarik Vidyaniti, in the presence of Gadadhar Pandit. Pundarik Vidyaniti, when he heard this verse, he became mad. He became simply mad. He went into ecstasy of love for 6 hours. And in that ecstasy of love, he simply destroyed practically everything within the vicinity of his house. His clothes, his bedstead, everything. He was just ripping things apart. His madness of love was so much that he couldn't contain himself. This was done by Mukunda to show the deep love that Pundarik Vidyaniti had for Lord Krishna. Because Gadadhar Pandit, when he saw Pundarik Vidyaniti, he was thinking, this person's a great devotee. He dresses so fine clothes. He makes his hair really nice, puts perfumes, and he has makeup. And he looks like, you know, gross materialist. So Gadadhar Pandit couldn't recognize the qualities of Pundarik Vidyaniti. So Mukunda understood, so he recited this verse. And this was the verse that was recited by Uddhava to Vidura. How is it possible to take shelter of one more merciful than Lord Shri Krishna, who gave liberation on the level of his own mother to the she-demon Putana Winch, who came there to kill him with poison smeared on her breast? How is it possible to find one, to know one, to understand how merciful it is, or take shelter of one more mercy than Lord Shri Krishna? And when he started to speak that verse, he just went into ecstasy, describing, Krishna's mercy. So here, what is it being said here? That the mercy of the Lord is really everything. And when we think of mercy, and we always think of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and there's no question, there's no more merciful than Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How merciful! You know, giving love of God to the most fallen, the most unqualified of personalities. We have the story of Jagai and Madai. But here, even Lord Shri Krishna, the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita, in his form as the Supreme Person, he is also unlimitedly and indescribably merciful. And here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking to Raghunath Das Goswami about how merciful that the Lord was, that he delivered him from what? Materialistic life. I mean, people can show mercy. Even people who are very merciful by nature, who are kind, philanthropic, also have good assets to show their concern for others. They may help people in different ways by opening up hospitals and curing sicknesses and doing so many philanthropic and welfare activities for people in general, sometimes even sacrificing their health and even their life for others. But that cannot be compared to the mercy of the Lord for saving one from one's materialistic life. That is the greatest of all mercy. To be able to get out or have an opportunity to get out of the material world. Because the material world is the source of all problems. There's no other problem but material life. And all problems exist within material consciousness or material life. So one who brings you out of that, or anyone who helps you move towards the goal of life, spiritual life, love of God, how merciful they are. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described, Prabhupada talks about the mercy of the spiritual master. I mean, Krishna is merciful. And sometimes we say Krishna's mercy is even greater in the form of the spiritual master. The mercy manifestation of Krishna is Guru. Guru comes and gives Krishna. Krishna gives his mercy to the spiritual master. And what is that mercy? What is the ultimate principle of that mercy? That you are not this body, you are Krishna's eternal servant. And that's all. That's your identity. That's who you are. To understand that, or to receive that knowledge, is the greatest gift. And to understand it is the perfection of life. That I am Krishna's servant eternally. No matter what situation I am, in whatever birth I am, whatever body I may be in, still, that identity and that realization of our success in life never changes. That's who we are. And so one who delivers one from the consciousness of the bodily conception of life, or brings one out of the materialistic way of life, Prabhupada says, one cannot express sufficient gratitude for Krishna for being freed from the materialistic way of life. But then again, we take it another step. We say Krishna is representative of the spiritual master. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the fourth canto, the epitome of this principle of mercy is being explained. That one who thinks, one who mistakenly thinks that somehow or other I can repay my spiritual master, I can repay Srila Prabhupada for what he has given me, becomes an actor on a dramatic stage who is in the role of comedy. You all have good experience with drama, especially here in London, right? But comedy. In other words, they become a laughing stock. That's what the verse is actually saying. Prabhupada writes, no one can repay the gift of eternal life. It's not possible. But the thing is, we should try. That's the point. Although we can't, or one cannot, but one should try. And what is the principle that allows us to try? It's mentioned here, gratitude. Being grateful for devotional service. Being grateful for the opportunity to associate with devotees and to move forward back home, back to Godhead. The principle of gratefulness. It's like, it's almost, what we say, common social etiquette to be grateful for somebody, for something that someone does for you. It's normal. In fact, sometimes it's even expected, right? If somebody does something for you, you kind of feel obligated to express your gratitude. And I also sometimes feel that you should. That's common social etiquette. But take it to the spiritual realm, and that one cannot really understand the value of the gift given. It's not possible. Because the spirit soul doesn't belong in this material world. We just don't belong here. That's all. This is a foreign place. And to enjoy sense gratification, or to make a life that is based on enjoying sense gratification, is a form, not a form, it is insanity. It is called crazy. And then, nunam pramatta kurute vikarma yarendriyat apriti apranoti nasadumanyet apranoyam kanapi klesha deha sadeha. Bhagavatam says, sense gratification is not only pramatta, but not only matta, but pramatta, madness. It's madness. Why? Because it is foreign to the living entity's nature. But everyone's doing it, therefore everyone's mad. I remember when I first time I met the devotees ever in my Krishna consciousness was in 1970 in an anti-war rally. And they were protesting against the Vietnam War. This was in America. And I was one of the persons who came to the anti-war rally to make protest. And then we came to Washington, D.C., and it was all these people with all these orange robes like this walking around. And I was saying, who are those people? They look pretty crazy to me. Plus, they have no hair. And they have this little thing on the back. I don't know what it is. I guess they forgot to get they were so in a hurry they didn't get the haircut. It was half done. And then, you know, I'm out there, and then this Mataji, I still don't remember who she was the first devotee I ever met in my life. She comes up to me. She wants to sell me some incense in a little pamphlet. And the incense, she wanted $2. I wanted to give her 50 cents. In those days, it was a lot more value to the dollar. But somehow or other, she won and got the $2. And she gave me this pamphlet. And the pamphlet was two stories in one pamphlet. Krishna, the reservoir, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Krishna, the reservoir of pleasure, and who is crazy? Prabhupada wrote this article, Who is Crazy? Because people were saying, boy, you people are crazy. And Prabhupada was hearing that regularly, and he was getting this feedback from devotees. People were saying, we're crazy. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Sri Sri Gauranitai ki jai. And Prabhupada said, okay, you say we are crazy, but we say you are crazy. So let us evaluate and discuss. So then Prabhupada went on to explain that anyone who thinks they're their body, or even take it a more simple, anyone who doesn't know who they are, is insane. It's a form of insanity if you don't know who you are. Well, who are you? Well, my name is, I live there, but is that you? You can designate so many things about you, but who are you? So no one could really honestly and correctly answer the question, who am I? Unless they understood their self distinct from their material situation. So Prabhupada wrote this discussion, who is crazy? We say you are crazy, and you say we are crazy. So let's discuss. So to come back to sanity means to take this spiritual life and to come to realization of who we are separate from this material body is the feature of that mercy. And anyone who brings us to that is our best friend. Ultimately, it's all Krishna's mercy. But one who delivers Krishna's mercy is as good as Krishna also. The deliverer of the mercy is just as, what we say, glorious and thankworthy as the source of the mercy. So here, Lord Chaitanya, he's speaking to Raghunath Das Goswami. Now look at Raghunath Das Goswami. I mean, from material point of view, he has everything. And he's not a debauchee either. He's a pious, spiritually well-adapted person. He comes from a good family, good parents, nice position, wealth. His wife was, let's explain, she was like an angel with all good qualities. He had everything. And Lord Chaitanya said, you are suffering, you have been suffering in a pit of stool with people going past stool and urine. He compared it to that, his nice material situation. We look at that, we think, wow, maybe I should be like Raghunath Das Goswami. He has all these nice things, you know. But the Lord Chaitanya could, of course, he's the Supreme Lord, so he could see that these things are just another forms of material entrapment. So, Lord Chaitanya, of course, is Krishna, but he's speaking as a devotee, and he says, Krishna is so merciful to you. He's delivered you from this pit of, you know, of materialistic life. And it's given you, ultimately, the opportunity for pure devotional service. So this principle of gratitude is very, very essential. It's an element that a devotee has to have in order to make progress in spiritual life. To be grateful for Krishna consciousness, to be grateful for the association, to be grateful just to have the opportunity to engage in devotional service. It seems like it's so easy, it's taken for granted, it's routine, sometimes we even avoid it. But actually it's the means for eternal life, the process of devotional service. And how is that gratefulness expressed in the ultimate sense of the gratefulness? Tate nukampam shushamikshamanam bhujan evat kritam pipakam ridval vahubir vinadanam aste jiveti yo mukti padesha dayabak. Prabhupada loved to quote this verse. This verse is so important, from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 14th chapter, verse number 8. It is such a powerful verse that even if, while engaging in devotional service, Krishna puts one in a difficult situation, causes one to suffer, and makes one's life apparently difficult, if one thanks Krishna and says, my dear Lord, thank you for all these wonderful forms of mercy you have given me in this way, then mukti padesha dayabak. Prabhupada says, just like you're born into a rich family, then guaranteed you will inherit the wealth of your parents. So mukti padesha dayabak means the kingdom of God is yours. It is yours. If you accept the difficulties that come by way of one's devotional service as the mercy of Krishna and thank Krishna. Not only accept them, we would say, well, okay, Krishna, I accept them, but really, I'm not so thankful. Maybe when I get out of it, I'll thank you, but not right now. No, that's not the verse. That's something different. It's a different interpretation. Because for a devotee, ultimately, what is, there's no difficulty because they're on their path back home, back to Godhead. So difficulties are actually means for taking the greater shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to go deeper in our own devotional service, to actually come closer to Krishna and to appreciate what this process really is. That's why Prabhupada, when he first, you know, gave us Krishna consciousness, he didn't tell us everything. Because if he told us everything, there wouldn't be too many of us here now. He gave it to us, you know, okay, Jai Hare Krishna, be happy. Yes, that's all there is. But but then again, there's purification of the heart. It's like removing, you know, a major operation. So as long as we stay within the process of devotional service and accept the difficulties and become grateful for these things. Not that we have to go out and look for difficulties. It's not that, that's not the idea. Just being in a material body and being in a Kali Yuga is a difficult situation. And trying to execute devotional service in this age is very difficult, extremely difficult. That's why the mercy is so great. But the point is to be always be very, very grateful for this opportunity to render devotional service. Sometimes we complain, this is not right, he's not right, she's not right, this is not right. But I always say, as we change ourselves, we change others. As we change ourselves, we also change the situations we're in also. Because what are we changing? Our consciousness. And we see things in different ways. And therefore, for a devotee, there's nothing inauspicious and nothing too difficult. Therefore, in Krishna consciousness, this feature of gratefulness is very, very essential. Because it allows one to really understand what we've been given. To be always be grateful in our devotional service. So, Krishna is speaking, Lord Chaitanya is speaking to Raghunath Das Goswami. Krishna is so merciful, he saved you from materialistic life. To stay in materialistic life, or to stay in a consciousness of materialism, means to again take birth in this material world. Sometimes we hear the statement, and it's from the scriptures, that if you don't make it in this life, then whatever you've gained in this life, you pick up in your next life. This is 100% and absolutely correct. But Prabhupada said, don't use this principle as a means to become lax. Don't think that, well, I can't make it in this life. I can't become fully Krishna conscious. And then try to evaluate some artificially way that I am not doing it or something wrong. No, Krishna's mercy is unlimited. And therefore he said, finish up in this life and go back home. At least qualify yourself, become a pure devotee. The soul is by nature pure. And so reaching our stage of perfection, of purity, is to become normal again. And that qualifies us to go back home, back to Godhead. Because Prabhupada would say, if you think you can come back and finish up in next life, he says, then whatever has stopped you in this life will also be there in your next life. And who knows whatever else may also come by way of the future. So a devotee should be very serious to ultimately to finish up our devotional life and go back to the spiritual world. And be grateful for the association of devotees, for the mercy of the spiritual master, for the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And that gratefulness is expressed by enthusiasm, to be enthusiastic in our spiritual life. Enthusiasm is the feature of success. if you're enthusiastic, even if you don't have qualifications for executing a devotional service, that qualification alone is enough, your enthusiasm, because this is not a material process. It's not a material process. Because Krishna, when he sees you're enthusiastic, he makes all arrangements to facilitate your enthusiasm in devotional service. There's a statement, enthusiasm crushes anarthas. By the principle of enthusiasm in devotional service, it crushes our anarthas. It helps us to remain fixed in our devotional service. But then again, we're enthusiastic when things go right, and we're unenthusiastic when things are not. We can adjust accordingly, but we should never adjust our enthusiasm. That should always be, you know, gradually turning up the temperature. So we can always remain enthusiastic. Enthusiastic to serve, enthusiastic to learn, enthusiastic to give this mercy to others, enthusiasm. And don't expect that your enthusiasm should be dependent on others' enthusiasm towards you. If you do, you'll be disappointed. You should always remain enthusiastic despite whatever situation. Because when Krishna sees that, then miracles happen. He empowers the devotee to do some wonderful things. So this is Krishna consciousness. So coming back to that principle, gratefulness. Gratefulness is a feature of life. Gratefulness, and when applied to devotional service, it is a wonderful quality to always be grateful for the mercy of the Lord, for the association of Vaishnavas, for the opportunity for devotional service. And it's not artificial because, wow, we have so much to be grateful for. So much mercy. And it's just to come into the temple room and to see Radha Gokula Nanda, Sita Ram, Lakshman Hanuman, Gornitai, how merciful they are. Just to accept our service. Just to be grateful to have this darshan. That is the perfection of our morning program, just to see the deities. So beautiful. Grateful for their darshan, grateful for their mercy, grateful. So a devotee is grateful. A person who is ungrateful, no matter what happens, they're never satisfied. A grateful person is satisfied really easy. If something little thing happens to a grateful person, they're happy. But a person who is ungrateful, no matter what you do to them, they always remain ungrateful. They're never satisfied because they expect more. A feature of humility is lack of expectations. A feature of humility is not to expect things, but to be able to have the opportunity to engage in devotional service. We can expect devotional service. That we should expect. So these are important qualities for Vaishnavas. Because, again, back to that verse, that even in the most difficult situation, if one remains grateful and thankful and prays to the Lord within our heart, then Krishna's mercy comes in the form of the one will go back home, back to Godhead. So, and Raghunath Das Goswami, I mean, how many of us had that situation to give up? It's easy to come to Krishna. It's not easy. It's easier to come to Krishna conscious when you're in a defunct material situation. But when you have everything, and you're pious too, and religious, to leave all that and to surrender to the Lord in devotion. So we can't imagine Lord Raghunath Das Goswami's qualities. His quality that he understands that anything in this material world is simply a distraction from the goal of life, no matter how nice it may appear.